The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. Liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, folks. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, December 27th, 2022 edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host for this Tuesday, Michael Herzog, as always, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, the title for this evening's broadcast is Engage Your Brains or Embrace Your Chains. Now, I'll get into that shortly, but first, hope everybody out there had a very Merry Christmas. I want to make a quick announcement. A reminder, I mentioned last week, I will be off next Tuesday, folks, as this is my year-end vacation. Usually I do it this week. I usually would leave right after the show. But unfortunately, due to circumstances, we had to move it up for a week. So anyway, I'm going to be traveling. I'll be visiting with my oldest friend on the West Coast, or close to the West Coast. But I'll be back on January 10th. Now, tonight, we're going to take a look back in history, not too far, as I could go back as far as the Declaration of Independence, but that would take a whole other show. So for the sake of broadcasting constraint, we'll just climb in our RBN time machine and set our destination for, well, October 29th, 1929, later named Black Tuesday, as this was the date of the crashing of the stock market. Now, I will not address in this broadcast the reasons why, only the results and the repercussions. The event caused massive panic, severe chaos. Several people who had built wealth or speculated were reduced from respectable financial stature to paupers overnight. And many lost their jobs and their homes and their life savings. And many also jumped out of buildings, committed suicide, shot themselves in the head. But for those who still had some money in the bank runs became very prevalent. And people started cashing out what was attainable to the point where many banks ultimately became insolvent. And they themselves had speculated in the market. And, well, they couldn't supply the demand of customer withdrawals that were being demanded on a daily basis. From opening to closing, every banking day by their panicked depositors. And remember, folks, at this time, the dollar was backed by gold. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we continue. People were taking out what remained of their savings and stashing it in their mattresses or wherever they could find what they thought a good hiding place. And this ongoing financial catastrophe eventually caused many banks to fail. And during this time, a byproduct of this depression introduced the actions of outlaws like John Dillinger, Ma Barker, Pretty Boy Floyd, Machine Gun Kelly, Bonnie and Clyde, all partially motivated to turn criminal as a result of all the chaos. And finally, on March 9th, 1933, 5 days after his inauguration, Franklin Roosevelt signed the Emergency Banking Act in the claim that he was doing so to, quote, restore public confidence in the nation's banking system, end quote. So the banks all took a holiday and closed for the entire week. And when they reopened, many people, confident in Roosevelt's actions, well, they returned what savings they had left to the bank. On April 5th, 1933, Roosevelt signed Executive Order 6102, requiring gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates to be delivered to the government. It required all persons to deliver all their gold coins, all their bullion, all their certificates owned by them to the Federal Reserve by May 1st for the set price of $20.67 per ounce. And the penalty under Section 9 of Executive Order 6102 for not doing so read like this, and I quote, "Whosoever willfully violates any provisions of this executive order or of these regulations or of any rule, regulation, or license issued thereunder may be fined not more than $10,000 or, if a natural person, may be imprisoned for not more than 10 years or both. And any officer or director or an agency of any corporation who knowingly participates in any such violation may be punished by a like fine, imprisonment, or both." And then, on June 5th, 1933, Congress enacted House Joint Resolution 192, which officially affirmed the retraction of gold-backed currency. January 30th, 1934, the Gold Reserve Act was signed. It was the culmination of Roosevelt's controversial gold program. And among other things, the acts transferred the ownership of all monetary gold in the United States to the U.S. Treasury and prohibited the Treasury and financial institutions from redeeming dollars for gold. Now, I had Mike, my engineer, post on RBN's website. It's a photo of Roosevelt signing that order, and behind him stands six members of the Federal Reserve Board. Standing directly behind him was the governor of the board, Eugene White. Now, it was during this time and through those actions that 6102 and through House Joint Resolution 192 declared a national emergency and bankruptcy, ongoing to this day. They confiscated all gold from the people, our parents. They turned control of it over to the Reserve. In 1934, as many of you know, Congressman Louis McFadden stood on the floor of Congress and he called out the Federal Reserve for who they were and what they had done to our parents. I'll quote him. "Mr. Chairman, we have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Banks, hereinafter called the Fed. The Fed has cheated the government of these United States and the people of these United States out of enough money to pay the nation's debt. The depredations and iniquities of the Fed has cost enough money to pay the national debt several times over. This evil institution has impoverished and ruined the people of these United States, has bankrupted itself, and has practically bankrupted our government. They did. It has done this through the defects of the law under which it operates, through the maladministration of that law by the Fed, and through the corrupt practices of the moneyed vultures who control it. End quote. And this statement, folks, was backed up in 1993 when Congressman James Traficant stood before Congress and affirmed the same. I will quote him. It is an established fact that the United States federal government, by the way, I'm leading up to something, folks, I'm sure you probably already knew that. Anyway, Jim Traficant said it is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act of March 9, 1933, 48 Statute 1, Public Law 89-719, declared by President Roosevelt of being bankrupt and insolvent from House Joint Resolution 192, 73rd Congress, M Session, June 5, 1933. The joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause dissolved the federal authority, the sovereign authority of the United States, and the official capacities of all United States government offices, officers, and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only. End quote. Now, the documented, recorded, and affirmed fact that this government was and still is operating under an emergency bankruptcy, overseen and controlled by the Federal Reserve and the International Monetary Fund, are the very reasons why Franklin Roosevelt agreed to, acquiesced to, and pledged to these, McFadden would say, vultures. The only thing the impoverished hull of the United States had left to pledge, that being the labor of its inhabitants, you and me, folks. Roosevelt pledged the labor of the people to the Federal Reserve. But they couldn't do that openly. They couldn't announce something like that to our parents that was mandatory, or the people would revolt. They knew that. So here's what they did. They planned for this. This, folks, I took this from the U.S. Vital Statistics System. I'm going to share this with you. In 1915, the National Birth Registration Area was established. And by 1933, interesting date there, isn't it? All states were registering live births and deaths with acceptable event coverage and providing the required data to the Bureau for the production of national birth and death statistics. Now, that acceptable event coverage meant the creation of your birth certificate with a straw man name, all in capital letters, with a recorded number on the back, equated to a CUSIP number. In short, by your parents and my parents naively signing that birth certificate, it pledged you and I as a commodity, owned and traded by the international monetary system. Our parents unknowingly now, this is why they call the income tax voluntary compliance, folks. You were volunteered by your parents, unknowingly, into their system as Roosevelt's pledge and collateral to the Federal Reserve. Now, I realize, folks, a lot of you already know this, and I'm probably, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but there's some new listeners here. I want to, I'm leading up to something here, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm painting the picture. Anyway, Roosevelt pledged us as collateral to the Federal Reserve for the continuance of commerce in the United States. And it's all why you will never see in any government publication or an IRS publication an income tax being, quote, mandatory under Title 26 of the Internal Revenue Service Code. It is why we hear from time to time, whether it be in a publication or we hear it on TV, and I just saw it just, oh, I don't know, a couple of weeks, one of these clowns that got on there saying, millions of Americans voluntarily fill out their 1040s every year. Yeah, we voluntarily do it. Our parents volunteered us. Try to unvolunteer. Watch what happens. It is also why, if you choose to participate in most endeavors of commerce, you must first obtain a license or permission. Permission to drive with a driver's license. Permission to conceal carry, a concealed carry permit. Permission to sell real estate, a real estate license, or an insurance license, or a license to cut hair, or a license to become a building contractor, or a license to practice law. You have to pass the bar, or even to paint fingernails, and on and on and on. A license, a privilege, which can be revoked. Folks, a privilege is not a right. A privilege is granted by the master. A right is given by God and affirmed by the Constitution, which leads me to how we got here. Now, I want to make this clear. We were all born as U.S. nationals. This fact is affirmed in the government's own documents. If you don't believe me, or if you haven't looked, just go into travel.state.gov and read the first 10 words of the second paragraph. It says, as defined by the INA, all citizens are U.S. nationals. U.S. nationals have rights. U.S. citizens have privileges. And privileges can be revoked. Which brings me to the 14th Amendment, which, by the way, made us federal citizens. 14th Amendment states, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, notice they said, and not are. Because if they said are subject to, that would make it mandatory. By using the word and, that affirms it's not mandatory. That means that some are and some are not. We are a voluntary subject, a serf, a slave. But the question is, who's not? A person who didn't volunteer, a U.S. national. But Michael, you say, our parents volunteered us. Yes, but we didn't know that, and they have gone great lengths over the years to make sure that we didn't find out. They trick us, folks. They trick us all the time. Every time they ask us if we're U.S. citizens, and we proudly proclaim, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen. A lot of them will be out there saying, yes, I'm a taxpayer, I've got rights. We didn't and don't know that every time we affirm that, we are affirming that we are their subject, their slave. When they ask us that questions, here's what they are really asking. Are you related to Negro slaves who were assigned federal citizenship with civil rights following the Civil War? Would you answer yes to that? I wouldn't. The 13th Amendment, the one allegedly freeing the slaves, folks, and I'll quote it for you, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as, oh, guess we got to take a break here. I'll continue with this with the 13th Amendment when we get back. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report. Stick around, more to come, folks. I'm going to break this down and tell you how and why we got here and what we can do about it. Be right back.
Day by day, Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your Tuesday host, coming from you way out in the middle of the desert in Arizona. So anyway, are you related to a Negro slaves who were assigned federal citizenship with civil rights following the Civil War?
No.
But anyway, remember, folks, a long time ago, we were all taught in school that the Civil War was fought to free the slaves. After the war, the 13th Amendment came into play, the one that allegedly guaranteed the freedom for the slaves. And it read, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except for punishment for crimes whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. End quote. Now, I want you to notice there, folks, that slavery and involuntary servitude are expressly prohibited. However, they conveniently left out. They didn't say anything about voluntary, did they? Voluntary is omitted, and therefore, it's both legal and lawful under their jurisdiction.
That's why they are very careful in their language, and that's why income tax is, according to them, and every publication that you will read that comes out of the IRS, it's voluntary. You will never see the word liable in any publication they put out. How many times in your lifetime have you heard them use the words voluntary compliance? You see, in their mindset, you volunteered. Even though you didn't know you volunteered, and they're certainly not going to tell you how you volunteered, or even more importantly, how you can legally unvolunteer. But I'm going to tell you, so keep listening. Your parents, thanks, Mom, both trustingly and unknowingly volunteered you into it, and every time you answer the question, are you a U.S. citizen, you affirm it. You agree to it, and you understand, or you stand under and submit to abide by their jurisdiction, even though you are ignorant to the real significance of the question. Now, I want you to ask yourself, through your life, how many times and from who this question has been asked of you? At a bank? From a police officer? From a border patrol agent? From a judge? On a credit app? On a work resume? On a car loan? On and on and on and on and on. It is also why the backdrop and the legal teeth of this pledge was the foundation laid by the earlier passage and the ratification of the 14th Amendment. Now, folks, I want to make this clear. We were all born as U.S. national. This fact is affirmed on the government's own documents. Just go into travel.state.gov and read those first 10 words of the second paragraph. As defined by the INA, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. Now, the 14th Amendment passed by Congress in 1866. It was ratified in 1868, not long after the Civil War, and it declared, and I'm going to quote this for you, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Notice they didn't say are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now let me read this again, and this time I'm going to substitute that one word. All persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. If they would have replaced just that one word, that would have made us mandatory subjects under their jurisdiction. But by using the word and instead of are, it affirms that obviously some are and some are not. And as to the state in which they reside, and this is very interesting, folks, because I want you to listen closely to this. When we think state, what do you think? We think, well, Idaho, Arizona, California, whatever. And they know that. But you see, that's not the state of which they are alluding. They are alluding to a state of mind, a state of submission, a state of belief. And I'm going to prove that right now. If you want to go in, you can Google this. I've done it. I did it. The definition of the word state in the Internal Revenue Service Code reads, I'll tell you how it reads when we get back. Another break coming up, folks. Stick around. More to come. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report. Be right back. When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, as I mentioned before the break, I want you to, you know, folks, we have been conditioned all of our lives, all right? When we think state, we think of a state with geographical boundaries like Idaho or Arizona or New York or whatever, and they know that. But that's not the state of which they are alluding. They are alluding to a state of mind. And I'm going to prove that to you, okay? The definition of the word state in the Internal Revenue Service Code reads like this. And I want you to listen very carefully, because this is one of the most cleverly written definitions that I have ever seen. Listen to this, section 7701A10. The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. There's a whole bunch of buzzwords in there, folks, a whole bunch of catchphrases in there that you really have to dig deep to find out what they mean. If they meant geographical states,
It would read something like this. The term state shall include all 50 individual states of the United States and the District of Columbia. But they don't. They didn't. Interestingly, they used the word construed, which the definition means to interpret in a particular way. They want you to think it means one thing when they know it means something else. They even tell you that that's what they are doing as they continue. I'll continue with what they say. Where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title, the term state shall be interpreted in a particular way where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. What they are saying is, it is necessary for them to construct this definition to be interpreted by you to believe it as one thing when they actually mean another, and that is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. To fool you. Now, I have to believe that the upper levels in the IRS are aware of this, because the lower-level agents conduct an interview like a car salesman. You make a counteroffer on a car deal while in their hot seat, and I know all of you have been there at one time or another, and the salesman has to leave the table and go get approval from his manager. Similarly, you show an Internal Revenue Service code or Internal Revenue Service code to an agent in an IRS interview, and it's like showing a cross to a vampire. I know, because I've done it. They immediately run out of the room like that car salesman to get a rebuttal to your question from above, because they don't even have a code book on their premises. All IRS agents have at their avail an Internal Revenue Manual, and they are all aware of what I'm about to read you. This is right out of the Internal Revenue Manual, section 1.5.2.2. Listen very closely. Our system of taxation depends on the taxpayer's belief that the tax laws they follow apply to everyone, and the IRS will respect and protect their rights under the law. Now, if you still don't believe this and you think I'm a nut, I'm going to back this up by reading excerpts from a few Supreme Court cases that will affirm exactly what I'm conveying here. Listen to this. The first Supreme Court ruling I'm going to share affirms what I just told you. Listen. Quote, therefore, the U.S. citizens of the federal corporation, residing in one of the states of the Union are classified as property and franchises of the federal government as an individual entity. That comes out of Wheeling Steel Corp. versus Fox, 298 U.S. 193 ADLED 1143 56 SCT 773. The second case, both before and after the 14th Amendment to the federal Constitution, it has not been necessary for a person to be a citizen of the United States in order to be a citizen of the state. That's citing the U.S. versus Cruikshank, Supercrosse versus BD of Supervisors, the Board of Supervisors, 221 A. 2nd, 431 in 1966. It is not necessary. It's voluntary. Supreme Court case number 3. The 14th Amendment recognized that an individual can be a citizen of one of the several states without being a citizen of the United States. That's the U.S. versus Anthony, 24, Fed Case 829 and 830. Now, if they would have used the word are instead of and when they wrote the 14th Amendment, the last two cases that I just read you could not have been ruled on as they were, because then you wouldn't have had a choice. But let me go on to number 4. There are then, under our Republican form of government, two classes of citizens. One of the United States and one of the state. That's Gardena versus the Board of Registrars of Jefferson County, 160 ALA 155:48SO788 in 1909. All of these affirm that there are indeed two distinct classes of citizens in this country. Now, I just picked those, but there are many more, folks. But I'm just going to give you one more, okay? Listen very closely to this one. Unless the defendant can prove he is not a citizen of the United States, the IRS has the right to inquire and determine a tax liability. That's the U.S. versus Slater, 545 Federal Supplement 179-182, ruled in 1982. So if you prove that you are not a citizen of the United States, the IRS does not have the right to inquire a tax liability. So you ask the question, well, Michael, how do you prove it? You prove it by restoring your U.S. national status, because, folks, you already are one. So in conclusion to that, the courts presume you to be a federal citizen. This is why you're asked the question all the time. You're always affirming, yes, I'm a citizen, I'm a taxpayer, blah, blah, blah. They presume you to be a federal citizen without even telling you that there are different classes of citizens. And it is up to you to dispute this. They're certainly not going to tell you. Okay. Before I tell you just how easy it is to remedy this, let me share with you one more thing. Back to the 13th Amendment. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Now, remember, slavery and involuntary servitude are expressly prohibited. However, voluntary servitude is conveniently omitted, and therefore is both legal and lawful. It's voluntary compliance, folks. So when they ask you, are you a citizen of the United States? Here is what they are really asking you. Again, are you related to Negro slaves who were assigned federal citizenship with civil rights following the Civil War? No. Or when they ask you, are you a resident? Are you residing in a state requesting protection from the federal government against any actions of your state? No. When you answer yes to either of those questions, you are again reaffirming your voluntary servitude and giving the federal government your consent to this. Now, one more. The Supreme Court, Jones versus Timmer, 89F Supplement 1226. Listen closely. The privileges, remember the word privilege, rights versus privileges, folks. The Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment protects very few rights because it neither incorporates the Bill of Rights nor protects all rights of individual citizens. Instead, this provision protects only those rights peculiar to being a citizen of the federal government. It does not protect those rights which relate to state citizenship. Two different classes of citizens, folks. When you are a U.S. citizen, you are subordinate to a U.S. national. They want you to think it's the opposite, because when you're a U.S. national, you have rights of that are given to you by God and affirmed to you again by the Constitution. This is why you need permission. This is why you need a license, which is a revocable privilege granted by your feudal masters as long as you are a good and faithful little slave to their system. And this clever deception is metastasizing in modern society even further by soon incorporating, as we see rolling out right now, social credit scores, digital currency, under the skin surveillance, as Yuval Noah Harari alluded to in the clip that I played of him on my last broadcast. They want under your skin, folks. They want to control everything you do. They want digital currency to control or to watch every transaction you make, everything. And they want the ability to be able to dictate what you can buy, what you can't buy, or they could just turn off your chip if they don't like it. Now, the question is, how do we get out of this spider web before we are consumed? Because the spider's on his way, and his fangs are now visible, folks. We see it all around us. Now, before I tell you, I will first refer to the Uniform Code of Commercial Commerce. This is universally accepted worldwide in contract law. Specifically, UCC Section 1-308. It provides the ability to declare inadvertent contractual consequences null and void. In short, the code establishes that when agreeing to certain performance or contract terms, if such terms result in a loss of rights to which one party is unaware, performance cannot be forced. Now, you were and are the party unaware. Did it result in the loss of your rights? Absolutely. Hence, the performance of the contract cannot be forced. That's why it's voluntary. Now, with that in mind, I'll ask you, did you knowingly agree to your contract, both pledged and signed by your parents at your birth? And were you ever made aware that you were being placed in a position of voluntary servitude? I trust the answer is no. Did this contract, unbeknownst to you, not result in your loss of rights as I shared with you in the previous Supreme Court cases? And does this clause not state that performance cannot be forced? It has to be voluntary. To do so would constitute involuntary servitude as prohibited by the 13th Amendment. They cannot do that. It is for these reasons and more that your servitude is voluntary. And it is for these reasons that your government stresses voluntary compliance. Anyone born on U.S. soil or naturalized in this country is both a U.S. national and a U.S. citizen. That fact is confirmed on our government's own immigration website. It's confirmed in a passport application. It's confirmed, you know, in the first 10 words of that statement with the INA. All right. So how do you unvolunteer? An affidavit sworn by you under penalty of perjury sent to the Secretary of State telling the Administrative Records Department that you wish to revert your political status back to being a national as opposed to a 14th Amendment citizen. It's that simple. It leaves them no choice but to honor your request, for if they did not, they themselves would be in violation of the terms enacted and signed under law of both the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the Supreme Court cases that I told you about. They will never do that. A signed affidavit notarized under penalty of perjury may only be rebutted by a superseding affidavit signed under penalty of perjury by another. And no one in this government is going to tie their signature to that, as it would be, that would criminally violate it, what has firmly been implanted into the law for generations, including, but not limited to, the 13th and 14th Amendment. This, folks, is your legal, lawful exit. And I have to tell you, right now, we are witnessing a tsunami of illegal immigrants from all over the world invading our sovereign country. They are allowing this for many reasons. And I have to tell you, I feel sorry for those naive immigrants who are under the mistaken impression that coming here is their answer to a better life. Folks, they have no idea of what they are entering into. I believe, among other reasons, for them to allow this invasion by these corrupt government entities, one of the reasons is that their secret is now out in the open for the increasingly large amount of people of whom are awakening to their enslaving construction of the 14th Amendment and are acting to extricate themselves from the spider web. They need to be replaced, and who better to replace them than millions of naive foreigners who would willingly sign away their rights to become a 14th Amendment U.S. citizen with all of the perks thrown out to them, like free health care, UBT cards, EBT cards, whatever they are. Oh, I hear a break coming up. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, National Intel Reporter. Stick around. More to come, folks.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
No one can say what we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done? This ain't no Shangri-La.
Shangri-La.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, I have to tell you, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up, you know, look around us. Look at what's happening here. We saw all these congressmen and senators clapping like trained seals at this clown that is bilking them out of billions of more dollars for a war that is unwinnable in the Ukraine. We're witnessing a tsunami of these illegal immigrants coming in from all over the world under the auspices that this is the beacon of light. It's for a better life. And they don't have any idea what they're entering into. And, you know, as I said, I believe among many other reasons for drug trafficking and sex slave trade and organ harvesting, throw that into the mix because I'm sure that's going on. Among the other reasons for this allowance of the invasion by these corporate government and globalist entities, one of the reasons is that their secret is now out in the open. This is it. For the increasingly large amount of people of whom are awakening to their enslaving construction of the 14th Amendment and are acting to extricate themselves from the spider web, they need to be replaced. And who better to replace them than millions of naive foreigners who would willingly sign away their rights to become 14th Amendment U.S. citizen slaves, thinking that they're free? You know, and I was talking to Mike, my engineer, during the break. Folks, you know, we saw what happened on January 6th. They've been in prison for almost 2 years now. I don't know whether they're being held under the Patriot Act or what's going on, but I'm sure that they didn't willfully waive their right to a speedy trial. This is what's going on in this country. And one of the last, if not the last straw we have for any kind of a protest or objection is following this, holding it against them, using their own words against them. Everything I showed you, everything I've read to you is factual. It comes from the Supreme Court. It comes from the construction of the IRS definitions. It comes from the 13th and 14th Amendment themselves. It's their words, not mine. Now, in closing this report, there's just one other interesting tidbit that I noticed. And thanks to Pete in L.A. for this, by the way. I was reading an article that was sent to me by Pete just the other day, and something jumped out at me. And by the way, this is posted. Mike posted it on the RBN website. And the title of that article is Sam Bankman-Fried Broke. SBF released on a $250 million bond, agrees to house arrest in his parents' house. Now, again, this is posted on the RBN website and written by Zero Hedge. When we get back, second hour, I'm going to open the phone lines, and I'm going to share with you just one paragraph out of that which really blew me away. Second hour coming up. Stick around.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us. Take all our money and send it abroad.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.